Hello, guys, and welcome back to another episode of Listen to Less. Today, we have a special guest, Dr. Addison O'Neill, on the podcast. She is a doctor of chiropractic, and she's actually my personal chiropractor. I love her. She saves my life on a regular basis. And today, she's going to talk to us about some topics with prenatal care, postnatal care involving chiropractic and how that can help, as well as a little bit more talk on the pelvic floor from a chiropractic standpoint. So, welcome.
Thanks, Leslie. You're super sweet for that. You're one of my favorites, too. Always a joy when you come in. Hi, guys. I'm Dr. O'Neill. Go by Addie. So, I'm a chiropractor, sports chiropractor specifically. I graduated from Parker in December, actually. Just a little bit of a background on me. I have my bachelor's from Texas Tech Kinesiology. I've got a master's in human and sports performance and a doctorate in chiropractic. I primarily work with the athletic population, but it's all together.
Does that mean you're calling me an athlete?
You are an athlete, absolutely.
A washed-up athlete.
You and me both.
Is that who you see mostly here, is athletes?
Uh-huh, primarily, okay. But also your weekend warrior and just really everyone.
Yeah. For sure. Okay, so let's get into a little bit about the pelvic floor. Last week's episode was also about the pelvic floor, so we're just going to keep on rolling with it with different perspectives. But would you give us your kind of description of what the pelvic floor is?
So the pelvic floor consists of muscles, ligament, connective tissue. It's supporting the organs in the pelvis, of course. Such as your bladder, uterus, rectum. We could go into a lot of detail on all of the muscles in there, which are a lot, but I don't really think that's something necessary. But basically, it plays a vital role in bodily functions, such as bowel movement, bladder control, sexual function, stability of the pelvis, the lower back, and just kind of a foundational part of our core.
Yeah. I think something that women don't realize about the pelvic floor is like how critical it is to just everything we do.
Absolutely.
Like we aren't taught about it until we're trying to get pregnant. 100%. But it's one of those things where once you start learning about it, it's like, why are we never, we're taught how to build bicep muscles, but why aren't we taught about our pelvic floor?
Absolutely. You know? And men too.
Yeah.
Even men. Yeah. It's very surprising to me how many people come in here. And I'll just ask, I have a pelvic floor questionnaire sometimes, mm-hmm. depending on the case presentation, if they need it. But people find it normal to like laugh really hard or sneeze and have a little leakage of urine.
Yeah.
And that's not normal at all. But, you know, nobody talks about it, like you said. So people just kind of just breeze past it.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I'm going to throw my sister under the bus. But me and her have both had pelvic floor issues like throughout our teens. I would almost pee myself when I would do Olympic weightlifting. Uh-huh. I would pee myself if I jumped rope.
Yeah.
And my sister pees herself on a regular basis when she's laughing.
Sure. And it's more common than not.
Yeah.
People just think it's normal. And it's absolutely not something that we should be experiencing. And we can work on it. But people just kind of go about their day to day with urinary leakage.
I know. Which is like peeing yourself as an adult. It's like not as normal as we're making it out to be.
Yeah,
like,
no. We need to stop this.
We shouldn't be peeing ourselves as adult women. So what are some signs that women may need to start thinking about their pelvic floor before they get pregnant? Obviously, we just discussed peeing yourself as an adult. What are some other things that are indicators that like, oh, you should probably start thinking about your pelvic floor?
Everything, lots of things, all okay. of the things. I mean, if you think about pregnancy and what's going to happen to your body, you're getting a completely new body. So, mm-hmm. And it's going to be new for the rest of your life. Your body
yeah.
is 100% changing. In the intricacy of birth and everything, you want to develop a foundation that's going to help you have the smoothest pregnancy, the best labor and delivery. In the pelvic floor, it plays a vital role of every part of that. It's kind of holding everything upright and in there.
Yeah.
Just working on creating that foundation, the strength and all the changes that are going to go on, you want to make sure you don't have those restrictions. You've got to work on, I could go on and on, but You need to start thinking about your pelvic floor before pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Like we need to be thinking about our pelvic floor all the time.
Right.
It is one of the main parts of our core,
mm-hmm.
or our stomach, our abs, all of that. It plays a part in that. So
yeah.
just getting that strong is going to help you have one of the best or a better pregnancy.
Yeah. This is kind of off topic of pregnancy, but do you see a lot of women with like the anterior pelvic tilt. And absolutely. Does that correlate with your pelvic floor?
Yes.
Can you dive into that a little bit? Sorry, I know we didn't prepare for that question.
No, absolutely. So I'm going to kind of relate it to pregnancy.
Okay.
Because I was already planning on talking about that. So okay. With all of the biomechanical changes that are going to happen when you're pregnant, meaning your body is going to change.
Yeah.
So whenever you get pregnant, we get a big old belly in front of us, 20, 35 pounds of weight. Our center of mass is going to be shifted. And by doing so with that weight kind of in the front of us or in the anterior portion, what that's doing, your sacrum, that bone kind of on your butt, the top of it's going to be brought forward.
Okay.
When that's brought forward, you're also going to go into hip flexion. So those bones that you feel in the front of your hips, they kind of go down or forward towards the floor.
Okay.
So that's the anterior pelvic tilt that's starting to happen.
Yeah.
When the anterior pelvic tilt happens, which is inevitable with pregnancy because you've got that center mass, you're going to get a lot of strain on passive fibers of the lower back.
Okay.
And if I'm nerding out too much, please tell
me. No, you're not. You're not.
So you always have what's called lumbar lordosis. It's the curvature of your lower back.
Okay.
When all of that happens, that creates that anterior pelvic tilt, you get an increased lumbar lordosis.
Okay.
So that's going to cause strain and stress on your back. It can cause strain on the facets, which are part of the bones in our spine,
okay,
that our nerves are kind of around in our disc. So it can cause pressure on our disc too, more pressure.
Yeah.
Also with that anterior pelvic tilt, you're going to get an increase in stress on the iliopsoas or the psoas muscle that kind of attaches in the pelvis and in the lower back.
Okay.
As well as your piriformis. So whenever you've got an anterior pelvic tilt, everything's shifted forward. Your piriformis is kind of in a always contracted state to keep that external rotation of the legs.
For those that don't know where that is, can we tell them where the piriformis
is? It's kind of on the outside of your butt.
Okay.
Yeah, your butt.
Butt muscles.
Butt muscles.
Okay.
The glutes.
Got it. Okay. So is that going to then make, it's going to put more pressure on your glutes?
Yes. So your glutes are kind of always going to be in a more contracted state.
Okay.
So that's why, and then with all of that, there's going to be a stretch of the pelvic floor muscles.
Got it.
So that's why you all, like before you get pregnant, I'm a big, big advocate of working out and exercising.
Yeah.
So it's important to, even if you're thinking about pregnancy, start your exercising and find a professional. And I do want to preface that I am not any of y'all's doctor listening.
Right.
I am Leslie's doctor. So I hope that she takes my advice. And I'm also not claiming to be a pelvic floor expert.
Right.
I'm just a chiropractor or sports chiropractor who loves the body and all about it. So take everything that I say with a grain of salt.
Yes.
But yeah.
Yes. Okay. So would you say I have an anterior pelvic tilt? Because I feel like I do.
I think everybody has an anterior pelvic tilt. And I say that with
to some degree. Okay.
To some degree. Absolutely.
Okay.
And everybody's normal is different.
Okay.
And that's one thing a lot of my mentors and everything I'm saying here, I want to shout out Marianne Demack. I'm sure, I hope she listens. She will. I've learned a lot from her. But we like to say N equals one.
Okay.
So everybody is individual to themselves. Their biomechanics are specific to them.
Got it.
So yes, everybody does have an anterior pelvic tilt to some degree.
Got it.
And that could be normal for some, or it could be called dysfunctional to others, depending on why it's there. What is related to the anterior pelvic tilt? Are we getting pain?
Yeah.
Do we just think we have an anterior pelvic tilt because somebody said that, but I've got no pain or anything, but now I'm fixated and kind of identifying with, oh, I've got an anterior pelvic tilt.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you do, but that could also be your normal and not bad at all.
Okay. That makes sense. I love that perspective. What if someone does have kind of that, but they all already are experiencing either pelvic pain or like low back pain?
Are you pregnant?
No. Like before, and so my question was going to be, they're having those issues before they get pregnant. And then it sounds like that's just going to be exasperated when they get pregnant. Is there something that they should do, care they should seek out before to kind of help potentially be able to reduce the pain that they may be destined for when pregnancy happens?
The answer is yes.
Okay.
Again, N equals one. So why are we experiencing that pain? Is it even related to the anterior pelvic tilt? I cannot say I see that person and I do a thorough exam to them specifically.
Got it.
What can they do? They can find a chiropractor
or
a physical therapist or a personal trainer, somebody who's knowledgeable in kind of what's going on with them. But yes, if you're already experiencing pain or hip pain, low back pain, kind of like I said earlier, it'd be important to start getting chiropractic treatment so we can remove some of those restrictions, start to work soft tissue work, active release technique on those muscles to get a little bit of relaxation from whatever's causing, you know, fix the root cause, not just the symptoms, of course.
Right.
But to create that foundation so you can become pregnant and kind of remove burdens that are there already in any dysfunction.
Right. Okay, cool. The more that I'm learning about just different modalities when it comes to pregnancy, the pelvic floor, et cetera, every case is different. And like you said, like everybody's normal is different, but it sounds like there is a lot we can do. Like you're not just doomed to be in aches and pains and misery when you're pregnant. There's a lot of things that you can do leading up to it to kind of help you have the best success and the most comfort possible. And also while you are pregnant.
Absolutely. Yeah. And exercise, I want to say, is the most important. And it's kind of funny actually, because some women get pregnant and they don't really work out before they get pregnant. And then all of a sudden they're wanting to work out while they're pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And though that's beautiful and wonderful, I would recommend start working out now. Like everybody listening, let's go to the gym. And I'm not saying we're hitting one rep maxes or anything like that, but like, let's move our bodies.
Yeah.
Let's get familiar with our bodies. Mm-hmm. Let's get familiar with our pelvic floors.
Mm-hmm.
Like ladies, and this is kind of something Dr. Lindsay Muma, if she listens to, that'd be awesome. She is the pelvic floor queen.
Okay.
Shout out her book. It's called Your Pelvic Floor Sucks, But It Doesn't Have To, which is so true. You should read it. It's a fun read. She's hilarious. Not as funny as me. That's funny. I kind of just lost track where I was going with that. What she was saying is get familiar with your pelvic floor.
Okay.
Meaning like look around, like look down there. Men, I know you're all probably used to what it looks like down there, but women, like get a mirror or feel around. You know, you want to kind of feel what's going on. But back to what I was saying before, that start exercising before so you can build that foundation. And there's lots of studies that show exercising during pregnancy, it helps decrease those mood swings that are going to happen. It helps increase your energy levels.
Cool.
And I've got some stats written down on how exercise and chiropractic together kind of help pregnancy and delivery.
Let's hear them.
Let me look down so I don't mess anything up. I also got a lot of this information from articles, so I'll give those to you so you can share with your listeners.
Okay. We'll put them in the show notes.
But other than kind of what we just said, the removal of constraints. So just getting that motion, relieving those restrictions that are going to happen with all those biomechanical changes, allowing for the best environment for that baby to be developed inside of you, allowing for those muscles to be relaxed for mama so mom can feel good while she's carrying. And again, our body, when you're pregnant, I have never had a kid, I've never been pregnant, but your body changes.
Yeah.
And postpartum is forever.
Mm-hmm.
So where we are now who haven't been pregnant, we will never be back here once we get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And that is okay.
Yeah.
It's important to know so much because people all the time are like, well, I used to do this, this is this.
Yep.
And it's like, you're not that anymore. And
yeah.
That's the important thing. You're so wonderful. And even like, you're a superhuman. You just had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about that. Your body, you just grew something in you.
Yeah.
You're never going to be the same.
Right.
And that's okay. You're better now.
Yeah.
But we've got to understand that big time.
Yeah.
But the removal of constraints, the increase in energy, chiropractic and exercise together before and during and after with the appropriate direction from your doctor. But some stats are 21% less weight gain during gestation, which is awesome.
Ooh.
With exercising before and after. A decreased labor period of an average of 2 hours, which is
really?
Yes. Yeah.
Wait, that's wild.
And a decrease in medical intervention of 24% lower cesarean births.
Wow.
Wonderful, right? So that's why it's so important. And even if you're not planning on getting pregnant.
Yeah.
But if it can have that effect on people or women who are pregnant, imagine like what it's doing for just your average Joe walking around.
Right.
Like exercising, chiropractic, and just taking care of your body.
Right.
Or cars. You go get oil changes, you rotate your tires, you gotta take care of your body just like that.
A lot of people don't. A lot of people, they're like, okay, I'll get my car fixed up. I'll like take care of the house. I'll take care of everything else except for the one body that I have.
I know. And it's always like, oh, you know, it's expensive or this, that. And look, I would treat everybody for free if I could. Seriously.
Yeah.
But you spend so much money on all this other stuff. Your car.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we do our hair, which I need to get mine done. Just like we get do facials and all that Botox. You take care of yourself, but we're not taking care of like the inside work, you know, that we actually need to be doing. And it's so important. And it does, lots of studies show the increase in longevity whenever you do exercise and chiropractic and just take care of your body.
That's so cool. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can nerd out about that forever.
I love it. I also, that's like, that's really cool about the decrease in labor time and the decrease in medical intervention, because I mean, those are two of the things that women going into pregnancy want that, like, or going into labor, they definitely want that.
Absolutely.
Nobody, like, I mean, there's people that do schedule like a C-section and that's what they want. And that's perfectly fine. But I know a lot of women that they don't necessarily have that as their main plan. And then they end up in that situation. So if this is something that they could add to potentially help them with that in the long run, that's really cool.
Absolutely.
You know,
I wish everybody would do it. I hope everyone listens to this or reads Your Pelvic Floor Sucks or something.
I agree. Okay. So let's move on to a little bit about like the safety of chiropractic during pregnancy, because I'm sure that there's some people listening that go to the chiropractor regularly. And I'm sure there's some people that have never been to a chiropractor, and the snap, crackle, pop terrifies them. So do you want to talk about maybe the safety of chiropractic in general?
Absolutely.
And then also during pregnancy?
Yes. Chiropractic is so funny, and there's so many people out there saying certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And even, you know, I think chiropractors might get mad at me for saying this, but I think we're our own worst critic and like nightmare, you know.
Yeah.
We all go against each other, and I think that's in any profession, really.
Oh yeah.
But I can say with 100% certainty, with all red flags ruled out, proper examination, and everything specific to each person, chiropractic can be safe. Again,
mm-hmm.
if you've ruled out all the things, because in certain situations, of course, you don't need to be adjusted.
Right.
Certain people, and we don't need to get into that. But if you are a healthy individual, chiropractic is so safe.
Mm-hmm.
It's that pops and cracks that you hear. Yeah, that's a little intimidating, but really that's just the formation. Some people say the release, one of my pet peeves, of gas.
Okay.
So it's called a cavitation or a tribonucleation. But it's just the formation of gas in the joint. What an adjustment is, we are not putting a bone in place.
Okay.
You're not walking around with a bone out of place, especially
okay.
a vertebral body or something in your spine.
Okay.
Imagine you have a spinal cord and nerves. Imagine that being out of place and the pressure you'd be putting on that. We wouldn't be able to talk or walk.
Where do you think that comes from then?
Chiropractic came from magnetic healing.
Okay.
And osteopath and things of that sort. So I just think like the evolution of all science kind of, and just as we've learned,
mm-hmm.
but I think just from back in the day and some,
maybe that's what they thought was happening originally.
Absolutely. And this is why I'm saying some chiropractors are going to kill me if they're listening to this, but you can take an x-ray and you can do an adjustment or something, and then the bone might actually look different.
Uh-huh.
Now, is that because the bone was dislocated or out of place? No, your bone is not dislocated. If it's dislocated, you're out of my scope of practice. I'm
yeah.
not resetting bones. You need
yeah.
to go to the ER or something.
Yeah.
Orthopedic surgeon. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Just not me.
Yes, no. But muscles attached to bones.
Yes.
Simply put. So with an adjustment, that's going to cause relaxation to those muscles that are pulling. So say you take an x-ray and something kind of looks out of whack on your hip or something.
Yeah.
Your hip may be higher. Well, is that because your hip is dislocated? No, that's because the muscle is kind of pulling or tensioning one area or joint that makes things look a little wonky.
Got it.
So the adjustments help relieve those restrictions.
Okay.
We're not putting bones into place.
Got it.
And back to the pregnancy, you've got the belly, and I know
right.
that can be intimidating, but we've got techniques
mm-hmm.
And ways that you can go about it. So there's a pregnancy pillow that you can put down where mom kind of just lays her belly in the pillow,
mm-hmm.
And that kind of takes the tension off of the
okay.
baby in the belly.
Got it.
You can still do pushing on the spine if you've ever had chiropractic. We can do anteriors where they're lying face up. We just kind of avoid the belly.
Yeah.
You can use drops. You can still use side posture. You just kind of, you might, as you know, I kind of bring your leg up.
Yeah.
if you were had a bigger belly or a baby in there, we would just lower that leg.
Got it.
And I would just kind of lower my center of grasp and kind of hover over you more and leave the belly out of the way. But there's plenty of ways to do chiropractic adjustments with the baby. And yes,
okay,
it's safe with mom and baby. It's safe if you're not pregnant. Again, if you've ruled out all red flags.
Got it. Okay. I have so many things that have popped in my head. Random off topic. Do you ever adjust babies?
Yeah.
Is that safe?
Yes. so when we're, and it kind of depends on what baby means to you, how old are we? Do babies really need it? And again, I'm going to piss some doctors off probably, and that's cool. Come for me. We can talk about it. I love you all.
Yeah.
But we're cartilage, you know?
Yeah.
So our bones really being restricted and stuff at that point. In my opinion, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
That comes more of like a DNS phase of just training patterns.
Okay.
So say a baby's only rolling to the left, we're rolling to the left, rolling to the left. And mom's like, my son will never go to the right. Like,
yeah.
So we can work on training movement patterns to help with muscular development on if like we're just going to the left.
Okay.
We might need to go to the right. So we can train patterns like that. Some chiropractors can.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what they do. Some don't like to do.
Yeah.
And that's more on the sports side or the DNS side.
Okay. Yeah. Do you ever notice that like chiropractic could help a baby with colic?
Yes. It can just help with relaxing. So sometimes it can just help with relaxing. Now, I'm not too knowledgeable on
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I can share studies with you, of course, but there is, I know there's studies. And one of my friends, Skylar Jennings, Dr. Jennings, hope she listens to this, who she works with a birthing company in Austin, and she's awesome, works with things like that. She just posted something on her story that I saw about chiropractic and helping with babies and colic and latching and things like that. Yeah.
So
it
cool.
It can just help with the relaxation.
I know that I have been seeing a chiropractor since I was a baby.
Awesome.
My little baby. Okay. So going back to some other things that you said about like, I think it's so, it's honestly refreshing to hear you say that it's not a dislocated bone. We're not like moving bones. Cause that's always, whether that was my own preconceived notion of like, just, that's just what everybody, the general public says is like, oh, your bone's out of place. I know my mom, she's always like, oh, you might just have something out of place that you need pushed back in. And I'm like, okay, like that makes sense because that's like what you think is happening.
Absolutely.
So it's interesting to hear you say, talk about like the muscle. Mm-hmm. And that also brings me up to a point of like, once again, talking about, you know, my mom, I know she, because we're a huge chiropractor family, like we've all gone forever. But she's gotten better now, but she used to not work out. Uh-huh. And so she would just sit in the same position every single day and then have the same pain every single day.
Absolutely.
And so I was like, I really wish you would get into like strengthening those muscles because then maybe that you won't have the pain or need as frequent adjustments if you're working out the muscles with it.
Yes, ma'am.
Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, our muscles kind of hold us in place, hold the bones where they are. So like you said, if you're kind of sitting at a desk, that computer drops, slouched over looking at your computer, you've got thoracic kyphosis, so the rounding of the back. So all of that's going to kind of cause pressure and tension, compression on your passive fibers, your disc.
Mm-hmm.
And then whenever you come to get out of that position that you've been in for 6 hours, just drowning yourself in your eyes at your computer, and you sit up, it's like, ouch,
you know,
that hurts. Because you've been slouched over and compressing for so long.
Yeah.
And it works up and down the chain, just as pregnancy does. So when you're slouched over, or you've got that baby in the front, even the neck, so you're going to get increased pressure or protraction kind of on the neck. That's going to cause lots of headaches come with pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Everybody wonders. A lot of the time it's because that weight here, the increase in lordosis of our lower back, the Kim Kardashian butt, it causes pressure up on the neck too.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's all kind of related. So just having good posture, biomechanics, and strengthening those muscles to help with that is really important.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. I think I'm going to give my membership a quick shout out real quick. If you guys want a workout program that is based on your posterior chains, the muscles that are going to be utilized most when you are pregnant and postpartum, because you're going to be doing a lot of like holding baby forward, bending over, picking stuff up, join my membership. It's $10 a month. Hey. And the program is all about strengthening the posterior chain in those areas that you're going to use a lot in pregnancy and postpartum.
Absolutely. No. Joining now.
Back to the episode. Okay, so what are some, well, we kind of talked about this already, but I was just going to retouch on what are some of the most common discomforts during pregnancy that you see chiropractic care specifically does tend to help with?
Lower back pain.
Okay.
For sure. Pelvic pain. Any referred pain. So you could have referred pain coming from the back. You could have neck pain, referred pain into the rhomboids. You could have from the lower lumbar spine. You could have referred pain into the legs, your radicular pain or paresthesia, and then this tingling. Mm. Ligament pain, round ligament pain, belly pain, glute pain, headaches. Yeah, it's just about finding kind of what is causing the pain. So again, N equals one. We're all going to have aches and pains, but it's not chasing the pain. It's really what's causing the pain. And so it's going to be different for us all, but chiropractic can help with a lot of things. And if you have a good chiropractor, hopefully they are honest with you and say, hey, you know, I've done my best and I've looked at you and I'm not really sure what this is, or this might be out of my scope of practice. You might need to be with your OB, or you might need to go to your PCP, or something like that. But chiropractors can help with a lot. But again, it kind of depends on the person and what it is.
Yeah. Okay. So in your office, which I do, whenever somebody tells me that their chiropractor doesn't have all the modalities that you have, I'm like, you need to go see my girl. she's got all the fancy things. So in here, we often use a lot of different modalities. Like we've done ultrasound before, we've done laser, we've done stim. What's the big,
decompression.
Do you ever use, or are they safe to use any of those things in pregnancy, or do you typically veer away from those and just stick to manual adjustments?
Again, N equals one, yes. But I am more of an active type person, so I'm going to try and do like MDT, McKinsey. That is a type of therapy that we can do for any of that referred pain.
Okay.
Or we can attempt to see if it's an MDT case.
Yeah.
Neurodynamics, DNS, which is dynamic neuromuscular stabilization. So just working on aligning your foundation. Again, with pregnancy, so many changes are happening in your body.
Yeah.
So yes, you can, but I probably would go more of the active and just like passive therapy of like soft tissue work. And
got you. Like more manual with your hands. Got it. Okay, cool. So does postpartum care look different than prenatal care or preconception care with a chiropractor?
As a chiropractor?
Yeah. Or just like the care that you would give somebody.
So for sure. Hopefully we're exercising. So this is a woman who's been exercising and everything. We want to get back to movement. And again, that is going to be specific to that person. But you want postpartum. So we just had the baby. So there's kind of phases to it. But with chiropractic, we're working on, you know, relieving that upper back more so, that tension of that kyphosis, kind of the same situation as somebody is sitting at the desk or the neck pain. And we're just kind of learning the new me.
Okay.
You know, we're calm, we're resting. This is rest. We just went through a lot. We're calm. We're just learning our body. We're paying attention to baby. We're resting, rejuvenating, becoming. And again, this is when you've been let go or your doctor relieves you, you know. But usually 0 to 8 weeks of just that rest period.
Okay.
And again, in this, we're working on, like you said, that posterior chain, learning proper hinging patterns again. Like, because now we've got baby crawling around or laying around, rolling around.
Yeah.
So we need to learn how to bend down, hinge, like you said, pick baby up or, you know, get down onto our knee, half kneeling and stand back up. So that's kind of just learning new movement patterns with the changes that have gone on. And then after that, 6 to 12 weeks, we're preparing. So we're working on mobility. We're preparing to get back out there of those activities of daily living. So we're just working on movement, mobility, getting up, cardiovascular. We're kind of getting back into that, taking it slow. N equals one.
Okay.
And then 12 to 6 months, we're returning to activity. We're learning again those movement patterns. Maybe we're squatting, we're deadlifting, and I'm not saying we're one rep maxing at all.
Yeah.
We're not there yet. And again, I am not your doctor, so do not follow us to a T. You need to get medically relieved from your practitioner, whoever's taking care of you.
Yeah.
But we're working on that preparation phase of getting up and doing all that stuff. And then 6 to 12 months or so, we're back to performance.
Okay.
We're performing with this new postpartum body that we will carry for the rest of our life, but mm-hmm. we're ready and we're working out. And with chiropractic, kind of the first half of all that, we're working upper back adjustments, relieving that kyphosis from the flexion that we've been in, kind of like we talked about. And then as the second half, we'll start going to the thoracic and the hips and stuff, relieving those.
Got it. Okay.
And pelvic floor, of course. We yes. have to work on breath work. We're starting there.
Yes.
Intra-abdominal pressure.
Yep.
Strengthening our front core, our pelvic floor, mm-hmm. our diaphragm, breath work.
Yes.
And there's lots of ways to do that, from carries, rolling around, having sex again. It's a great mm-hmm. way to work on the pelvic floor. Orgasm. I'm sorry, guys, but it's true. If you want to work your pelvic floor, go have sex. Good sex.
We love it. Here we go. This is the podcast we needed. No, but that is so true. And we talked about that a lot in last week's episode about sex and pain with sex being a pelvic floor issue, and even just like inability to have an orgasm. Like once you start working on your pelvic floor and correct abdominal pressure, that can help you to enjoy sex again
yes.
and have better orgasms. So if that's something that is painful for you, or you're like not able to do any of those things, then that's something that potentially you should seek out help for, to kind of see what area you need to start working on.
Absolutely. Yeah. And please, everybody, know that you do need to be working with a professional.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're having any sort of dysfunction, if you're having any pain, if you're having any urinary leakage, if you're having any bowel incontinence or anything of that sort.
Yeah.
And I just recommend anybody work with professional that kind of understands it, you know, just to make sure you're rehabbing your body and your new life
mm-hmm.
properly to get to the optimal results of function.
Yeah, 100%. I love that. And there's so many different professionals that, like, something that I would struggle with, or I could see myself struggling with, if I didn't already have a network of people. Like, I take my body health very seriously, so I have like somebody for everything.
Absolutely.
But if you're not somebody that already has that, you don't have that like network of people in your tool belt to help you with different issues that your body is having, just start somewhere. Like, start with a chiropractor, and then your chiropractor can help you to, okay, these are the issues you're having. They can help refer you to
Absolutely.
Like who you should seek out for specific issues. If you're like, I don't even know where to go, I don't even know like where to start.
Yes.
Just find somebody to start where it makes the most sense to
yes.
you in the beginning, and they'll help you
Absolutely.
With referrals.
Amen. Build a network, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody, you need to have different doctors for different things. And if you go to one doctor, you know, you present everything to them, they're like, hey, I can help you with this, but you need to see this.
Mm-hmm.
And I have recommendations.
Yes.
And so build your network. I have a network of people that help
yep.
me with my health. And
mm-hmm.
so you just said you do. It's very important.
Yeah. Build your tool belt. And it's okay to, if you go to somebody and you don't jive with them, it's okay to find somebody else.
Yes.
It's okay to have that. Like, I know we always want the first time to be perfect, so it's not wasting our time and our money and et cetera, but it's okay. It's probably like not going to happen that way. So like making sure that you do just take the first step to make your first appointment somewhere
yeah.
so that you can figure out. And then once you have your first appointment, you're more likely to then have your second and third to be able to get to the result you're looking for.
Absolutely. I mean, just like, therapists, we kind of mm-hmm. interview our therapists to
yes.
see if it works for us. You do that with your doctors. I mean,
yep.
some of us, people are knowledgeable, and there's so many different routes or ways
mm-hmm.
to get to Chicago. So
yep.
it's just kind of understanding who's going to work for what you need specifically. Though you may need a chiropractor, I might not be the right chiropractor for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's totally true. I've got some great friends that do different types of chiropractic that I would refer patients to, because it's just not what I'm knowledgeable in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Do you have any tips for people in how to pick the right chiropractor, things that they should look for?
Again, just kind of N=1, just see one. You want to have that connection. Make sure that you feel heard and seen. Are we going just to get adjusted? Great. Are we going to get physiotherapy? Great.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need somebody who, you know, do your research and just make sure that it matches.
Yeah.
Because there's so many different types of chiropractors or physical therapists, and kind of just, you know, ask around, ask your friends, and get that network, and just kind of go where you feel safe.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay. I have two more questions for you.
Cool.
We kind of talked of like what the getting cracked is, that it's just gas. gas release, which is kind of crazy to think. Oh, it's just, we are relieving, your bones are farting. Do you have any suggestions or tips for people that they are in pain and after listening to this, they're like, okay, I do want to try, but I am like scared to with the cracking sensation?
Well, I mean, again, just start, get your foot in the door. It's all about communicating and building that rapport with them. Do you need to be adjusted even? I don't know. You know, and there's other ways that you can do it where you might not hear the crack, because that is a real fear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's totally okay.
Yeah.
And maybe as you build that rapport and relationship with your doctor, that you can get to a comfortable place to where you're okay with that.
Yeah.
But we have tools like Arthrostim, activators, drops that can still get that motion into the joint where you really need. So you don't always have to hear the crack if that's something you're afraid of, and that's absolutely okay and should be heard.
Okay. Can, if people, because I feel like most people, and I'm thinking of conversations I've specifically had with close friends, and that's why I'm bringing it up so much. if they're specifically scared about cracking the neck, can you do an adjustment of the rest of the body, just not the neck to start?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
So just tell your chiropractor that, right?
Absolutely. And you might not need to be adjusted everywhere, you know? And one thing I would say is, like, if you're going to a chiropractor and they're doing the exact same thing with you and the next person, you're always getting your neck done, this, that, you might not need it. Mm-hmm. That might not be the best thing for you. Again, N equals one. Sometimes I don't even adjust. I had a patient come in this morning and she was like, yeah, I was talking to my friend. And she was like, do you get everything cracked? And she was like, no. My chiropractor didn't really crack me everywhere. And
yeah.
It's because she doesn't need to be adjusted everywhere. So yeah, you might not need your neck to be done. And if you do need your lower back, your hips, you can absolutely just get that. It's a start.
Yes.
And if we're relieving one segment or area of the body, you're going to get relief. It's a kinetic chain. We're connected head to toe.
Yeah. Love it. Okay. Last question before we wrap this up is, for any of the women listening, because I don't know if I have a single male listener, is there anything based off of our conversation today that any last pieces of advice, topics, anything else that you would tell them?
Get your boyfriends, husbands, friends that are men listening to Listen to Less, because we all should understand women dynamic and pelvic floor and pregnancy, because it's a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
So men, listen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to shout out that book again, ladies. Your Pelvic Floor Sucks. It's a very easy read.
Okay.
And it will help you understand. I don't get any money from this, though, Dr. Moom, if you want to. We break records. Let's go. No, but just, you know, find that network and just get in with people, talk about things. Are you doing this? Are you experiencing this?
Yeah.
And just kind of learn, you know, we all have this friend, so just communicate and
get
to know yourself and look around, explore your pelvic floor, look at your muscles, you know, move your body.
I will say one funny story. I joined a membership about your pelvic floor.
Yeah.
And this is like a couple weeks ago, and I'm on my mom, like my family has an Amazon account. Like my dad and my brother are on there all the time. And so I click on the first few links of like tools to consider using for your pelvic floor. And I like click it and it brings up like, I don't even know, like pelvic wands, dilators, things like that, which I still don't fully understand what that is. But then I was like, oh no, this is like, I don't want my dad to see this.
Like, yeah, no, it looks, a pelvic wand looks like a sex toy. Yes,
it does.
But it isn't. What it is you are inserting it.
Okay.
But your work, so whenever we go through labor and pregnancy, you're going to get scar tissue after that.
Okay.
And so you need to, just like if you had ACL surgery, we've got to work that scar to bring back proprioception and feeling.
Got it.
Bringing muscle connection. So that pelvic wand is an instrument that's inserted to kind of work scar tissue to bring back that proprioception. Yes, it looks very scary. Somebody, I don't know who told me this story, it was probably Dr. Muma, had their pelvic wand.
Yeah.
And they went to through TSA to go fly.
Oh, gosh.
And they like pulled it out thinking it was like a vibrator or something like that. And she's like, no, this is a medical tool for like scar tissue. But yeah, get a pelvic wand too. That's a great thing to have.
Okay.
If your doctor says it's okay for you. Again, everyone listening, please.
Maybe like follow someone to figure out how to use it.
Yes.
See a pelvic floor therapist.
You need to get a doctor to approve and make sure you are okay, because N equals one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not your doctor. I'm not telling you guys to do this. Again, I'm not an expert either.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But it was just funny, because then when I came back to my Amazon, it was like recently searched, and I was like, oh God, I need to delete all of this so my dad doesn't see. And there was like three different ones, and there was even like the best lube to use so that it's like safe.
Absolutely.
So hilarious. That day, Drew and I made our own Amazon account.
So funny.
That's too funny. Oh, goodness. Okay. Well, this was a great episode. Thank you so much for, well, I'm here. This is my first in-person interview, guys. But thanks so much for letting me come and interview Absolutely. You and giving us all this information.
Thank you for having me. I had a lot of fun.
Of course. Is there anywhere that if the people want to find you, whether they're local or not, where can they find you?
You can guys follow me on Instagram. It's Dr. Addison O'Neill, so just DrAddisonOneal.
Okay.
Dr. Addison O'Neill.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, thank you so much, guys. I will talk to you next week.